I guess you're wondering why I called you here today. And thank you for showing up. I appreciate it. Just give me your undivided attention for a few minutes and we can get this meeting finished. First of all, sales this month have been extraordinary. Thank you, Bob, and thank you, Joseph. Mary, let's put a little bit more effort into it this month. What do you think? Okay. All right, it's coming to the end of the month, and I want to see you push. I want to see you out there. I want to see you working. I want to see you moving and shaking. I don't want any excuses, my dog ate my homework, or anything like that. I want results, and I want results now. If you plan to be with this organization much longer, you're going to have to give us something. You're going to have to give me something of yourself. Dig deep inside, and let's start producing, ladies and gentlemen. Come on. Arthur, you have been extraordinary this month, but it's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. You have reached the goal of your sales as laid out by you. You have even exceeded it. Congratulations, but it's not enough. I want better and better and better. When you reach that goal, I want you to reach the next goal. When you reach that goal, I want you to reach the next goal. Well, thank you so much for all your effort, but it's not good enough. It's not good enough. Now go out there. Show them what you got. Give them everything you have. All right, meeting adjourned. Go get a donut.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
That's why I hate sales. I've never been in sales at any point in my life. I never had a sales job. But I worked for a couple of companies as an office manager kind of guy, you know, administrative guy. But I worked closely with the sales department, and man, those people were treated like animals. Not even free-range chickens. I mean, they were in the coop. What a horrible job. What a demeaning job it was to be in sales. No matter how good you do, it's never enough. How demeaning. How defeating. What a manipulation. What a playing of adults. Horrible, horrible thing. And I've known a lot of sales managers, and that's what they're hired to do. Like army sergeants, they're trained to whip the crap out of you. You're never good enough. You can always be better. There's always something to criticize. Always something to say that's negative. Why did this come up? Sales meetings. They lure you with donuts. Somebody's always assigned to bring the donuts. Some lackey who they don't expect much out of this person anyway. Might as well go pick up the donuts. Let's feed our sales staff sugar so they can go out there and just bother everybody. Come on, eat the sugar. How about some coffee? You want some coffee? That'll get you motivated. That'll get you on the toilet. And then after that, I want you to go out and sell. I want you to be hyped up with sugar and donuts and coffee. And just sell the crap out of everybody. I don't care what you're selling. Just sell it. It's never good enough. You're never good enough. You'll never be good enough. Job performance reviews. Richard, you're doing a wonderful job, but we can do better, can't we? I was going to give you a 5% raise, but I know you can do better, so I'm going to give you a 0.5%. I want you to be motivated. Your family hungry? Then work harder. Oh, it's the ugly side of business, man. Nobody talks about this stuff. Oh, the jobs. Everybody should have a job. Oh, there's plenty of jobs available. Yeah, yeah. 3/4 of the country is employed at McDonald's. Jobs, available jobs. Jobs my ass. Look at my job. Look at my ass. Seriously. Seriously. Jobs. Jobs. Anyway, I've had too many donuts and coffee. I don't eat donuts. I'm scared of donuts. I really am. I think donuts were invented by people that want to kill other people. Donuts are nasty things. Let's take dough, which is certainly nutritious for you, full of vitamins and good nutrients and all that good stuff. Bodybuilders. Let's take dough. Let's deep fry it in a whole vat of oil. And not just any oil. Let's use really good, nasty oil that came out of the bottom of somebody's transmission fluid. Now this dough, I don't want it to be any dough. I want to have lard in it. I want good, heavy, fat-sucking lard. I want the fattiest fat you can fat up. Let's make that lard going, man, because everybody knows that in restaurants, the reason the food tastes so great, they're not cooking in canola oil or olive oil. They're cooking in lard. That's why it tastes so good. Things that will kill you taste wonderful. Things that are good for you taste horrible. Hey, try some kale. Oh my God. What, did you just mow the lawn? Are these the clippings? Are you serious? You want me to eat? It's very good for you. Everything that's good for you doesn't taste good. Everything that's horrible for you is fantastic because it's peppered with pepper, lard, and salt. And if that's not enough, we'll powder sugar it. And that's what a donut is. Lard and fat dough, deep fried, just like your arteries, and then we sprinkle icing and powdered sugar on it. It's a fast track to hell, but I love it. No one goes to a restaurant and says, "I'll have the kale, please." I mean, in some restaurants, there's actually a kale salad. They put it on the menu to be funny, but people actually order it because they don't get that it's a funny thing. It's not, you're not supposed to order the kale salad. That's just there for show. That's to make it look like the restaurant cares about you. But that's all it is. It's a joke. It's a funny joke. But some people don't get it. They walk in, "I'll have the kale salad." And the server says, what are you serious? Are you kidding me now? That's a joke. You're ordering the joke on the menu. You're not supposed to order that. We don't have any kale. Were you serious? We didn't think anybody was going to order that shit. There is a restaurant near me that has a kale salad, and it has lemongrass dressing. Fitting that lemongrass would go on the kale. Now we have an entire lawn mowing experience going on. Lemon cuts through everything. You know, lemon is, I can't do salt. And I, how about lemon? Yeah, fine, okay, whatever. I don't understand it. And the kale salad is like $12 just for the kale. I mean, it's like, all right, here's what you do. If you're just going to sit there and eat rabbit food, go to the supermarket. For $2.50, $3, you can have like 5 helpings of kale salad, and that'll stretch out through the entire week. Why are you going to a restaurant and paying that kind of money for someone to bring you lawn clippings? I'm not really too sure. Of course, they're not lawn clippings. They are, that kale is a thing. It's an actual thing. I think spinach just decided, people have had enough of me. I'm going kale. And now there's baby spinach. I can't eat that. Have you seen this? Baby spinach. I'm not eating baby spinach. Are you kidding me? Why did you name it that? Do you like spinach?
I like the babies.
What, are you serious? You're not an adult enough to eat spinach?
I like the little baby spinach. It fits in my mouth nicer.
That's disgusting.
It's baby spinach. Kidding me?
I'm not eating a baby of anything. I mean, I've never seen baby spinach. I've never seen spinach give birth to a baby spinach. I guess it happens because that's what's on the label. I'm not sure about how that all works. But whether it be spinach, its young siblings, or a kale, I'm just... But I don't do donuts. I refuse to do donuts. No, no, no. I'll do a bagel every now and then, even though I know that's horrible for you as well. Lard and dough, deep fried. That's bad, but at least it doesn't have the powdered sugar and the sugar on it. I mean, give me something here.
I like cake in a circle. I know cakes are round, but the middle of the cake, I don't like that.
What are you talking about? What are you talking about you don't like the middle of the cake?
No, I wish they'd cut out the middle and just give me the outer part of the cake.
What are you, crazy? What are you, nuts?
I like donuts.
I don't like donuts. You know why? Something's missing from the middle. They're the donut holes. And they sell them separately. What a scam. What a scam that is. You want a donut?
Yes, I'd love one. I'm going to take the middle out. I'm going to sell it separately to somebody else.
And then people actually walk into these donut places and say, I'd like a dozen donut holes. What are you doing? What? You're buying the stuff that came with someone else's food. They knocked out the middle part. I don't know if it's knocked out or that they just roll little balls and call them holes. We don't even question this. How much for that donut hole? That's like 75 cents. For a hole? What are you selling me? It's not really a hole. It's the dough that created the hole in a whole donut. What am I eating seconds here? What are you talking about? Donut holes should be free. You make a donut, you cut the middle out. Rather than throw it in the garbage, you're selling it to me for 75 cents? What kind of a scam?
Oh, I'll sell anything. I'll sell anything.
Come on, kids. Get out there and sell those donut holes. I recently went to a McDonald's. I don't know if I told you this story last week or not, because the brain cells just are starting to evacuate the scene.
All right, Ron's got too many brain cells. Let's get out of here. Come on. Come on. Come on. Let's go. Ron doesn't need these brain cells. Come on. Let's get out of here.
I don't know if I talked about this last week, but I went into a McDonald's. I was going to say restaurant by mistake. A McDonald's shelter. I don't know what they call those things. They're not restaurants, are they? I mean, people don't come to the table and say, "Can I take your order?" Yeah, give me French fries, or I'll be right back, sir. No, I don't know what that is. It's a takeout. I remember not long ago, with the brain cells that I do have left, that I could get an Egg McMuffin, which is their standard breakfast fare. It's a breakfast sandwich on an Egg McMuffin thing. It's a English muffin, and inside they put an egg and a piece of ham, and then they wrap it up and they give it to you. This is an incredible invention. Used to be $1.50, maybe $2 in some locations. Now it's $4.20 plus tax. What, are you kidding me? When did this happen? When did McDonald's start being the higher echelon of crap? Well, you got your crap. You got your normal crap. Then you got the high-class crap at McDonald's.
It's not high-class crap.
Oh, we're trying to be high-class crap. $4.20 for a breakfast sandwich? Are you kidding me? What, are you serious? Bob Kraft wouldn't even pay that. Even he knows that's inflated. After having sex on his back in a massage parlor, I know Bob would love a good Egg McMuffin, but he ain't paying that kind of money. See Bob Kraft pulling up in front of a McDonald's in his Bentley. Let me tell you something, Kraft. You go anywhere in your Bentley, and you're a piece of crap to me. You don't drive a Bentley. You don't sit in a Bentley. I don't think he drives a Bentley. He's driven in it. I mean, stop shoving your little money in my face. You know what, Bob? I want to see the video of you lying on your back with your hoo-ha sticking in the air, having some strange woman come over and satisfy you. I want to see the expression on your face, on your 80-year-old naked body, because that is retribution. That's what we call karma, Bob. I don't know if you ever looked up that word in the dictionary, but it's called karma. I know that the New England people love you and all that stuff. I live in New England. I don't mind the football team, but I don't love you, Bob, because you drive around and you shove the money in my face. So I want to see a picture of you lying naked on a table. It brings you back down to earth, Bob. It brings you back down to earth. And earth is where every living human being should be, no matter how much money you have in your pocket, no matter how much money you use to pay off lawsuits, to get yourself out of trouble with highfalutin lawyers that most people could never afford and would be in jail by now. All that stuff is what I call karma, Bob. And I think karma for you is lying naked face up on a table with having a girl satisfy you. And me getting a close-up of the ecstasy on your face, that's karma, Bob. That's the definition of karma, Bob. You understand? Understand how that works? You get your high-powered lawyers to stop the release of a video of you in a massage parlor where most people couldn't afford those lawyers, Bob. And that video would be splashed all over the media by now. But not you, Bob, because you're special, because you have a lot of money. Okay, Bob, I get it.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, but you need to know that it's okay. We all make mistakes, and we must learn to forgive ourselves. The universe wants us to be happy, whether or not we listen to The Ron Van Dam Show. Nothing is forever, including The Ron Van Dam Show. You will be fine. The universe will try to forget about this one.
Mm-hmm. I begin a 200-year episode of Liar. I call this Liar. This is about the Trump administration and everybody that works for it. Some people behind the scenes in the White House actually understand all the crap that's really going on more than you do. But most don't. Most protect this president who makes up stuff and lies. Now, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who is one of the White House spokespeople, the White House press secretary for Trump, she lies. The press knows she lies. I know she lies. I think you should know she lies. Continually, she makes stuff up. In the Mueller report, hear of that? In the Mueller report, it specifically states, word for word, that Sarah Huckabee Sanders admitted that she lied to the public. She made it up. And she lied. You can't believe a word that she says, nor a word that the president says, because they all continually lie.
Liar! Liar! Liar!
Three Dog Night put it best who knew that their song would actually be talking about a White House administration. Now, it's not just that they tell some lies. They actually have put out videos showing skirmishes and attacks at what they call the southern border, the Mexican border, when indeed the videos were not of the southern border. They were of riots that take place in Europe and in the Middle East. And they were shown by the campaign, the Trump campaign, to be taking place at the Mexican border. They were not. That was a lie.
Liar! Liar! Liar!
Oh, my God. The firing of James Comey, Sarah Huckabee Sanders stated that she spoke to many people in the FBI and the Justice Department, but especially the FBI, who don't like James Comey, and they're glad to see him leave. When asked about that, Sarah Huckabee Sanders was subpoenaed to appear before Mueller and the investigative staff, where you cannot lie. Lying will put you in jail. And she was asked, other people that have testified said that did not happen, that you lied about that. And she said to the Mueller people, yes, nobody on the FBI told me that. I made that up and I did say that. She admitted that she lied. That was in the Mueller report. So reporters say, we read the Mueller report. It says that you admitted that you lied about that. And she said, I didn't lie. I was a slip of the tongue. I believe what I said. No, you told Mueller that what you said you made up. She said, no, I just said it was a slip of the tongue. I stand behind what I said. Unbelievable. I don't even understand it myself. I don't understand it. How does this happen? How does this even happen? New today, Trump's approval. Ron, you got to learn how to talk if you're going to do this stuff. Trump's approval rating has dipped substantially, back down to 36%. And this survey was taken after the Mueller report came out. So Trump can stand there and say, I'm very happy about the Mueller report. I've been exonerated from everything. Well, the fact is, you weren't exonerated from everything. All Mueller said was it's not his job to indict presidents. That's up to the government. And that's what the government is going to do. What they said was that Russia did indeed try to make Trump win, did everything they could. Trump did not work with them specifically, but the report does say that your president encouraged the information, helped disseminate the information, knew that the information was coming out, had advance notice of the information, knew that the Russians were doing this. We even have video of him standing there saying, Russia, if you're hacking, get me everything. I mean, it's no collusion per se. No, he didn't sit down at tables and said, okay, let's get this together. Let's organize this. But he accepted. He knew that they were doing it, and he accepted it. A person running for president is not supposed to open arms say, hey, if you want to hack our system and help me win, come on, let's do it, other countries, especially the Russians. That's a disgusting person. That's what Trump apparently is. So when we talk about no collusion, we're not dismissing the fact that Trump knew all that this was going on and where it was coming from and did nothing to stop it and used it to his advantage happily and knowingly. You can call it what you want. Maybe it's not collusion, but it sure is suck world. Obstruction of justice. Mueller didn't say that Trump was clear of that. He said there is a very good picture of that. And he cites in the Mueller report those good pictures of Trump actually trying to obstruct justice. Mueller doesn't say that Trump didn't obstruct justice. He just said that there wasn't enough to indict him on. But Congress and us, his employers, can definitely say and pursue the fact that he tried to stop this investigation by telling people to end it, fire these people. Let's start a campaign against it. Let's get rid of it. Now, it's true that the president shouldn't be happy that he's being investigated, but you can't go trying to fire the people that are investigating you. And that's what he did. And there's video of him, and there's sound bites, and there are definitely tweets. Rudy Giuliani, Trump's lawyer, what? Actually said this past weekend, he actually said that, hey, if they can't get you on it, then it's okay to do it. So attempted murder is fine, apparently, as long as you don't actually murder the person. You can plan it, you can prepare for it, but if you couldn't pull it off, no harm, no foul. Wow. Oh, man. Anyway, let's move on. I just like to keep you informed, that's all. I mean, you can read this any way you want. The Mueller report is out. It is incredibly damning to the president, not only to his personality, his efforts, his moods, his incapacity, his sicknesses, his immorality, all that stuff. His willingness to only protect himself, he doesn't give a crap about anybody else. That's all in there. So read on. Enjoy. It's not the end, Don. It's just the beginning. All righty. Fine. By the way, this costs you nothing to listen to this show, but you certainly can contribute if you wish.
Yeah? We accept Visa, MasterCard, and Discover.
All right. Let's speak to our guest for today.
Good morning, Ron.
How are you doing today?
We are doing great.
Great. Dr. Andrew Spitzer joins us here today, and we're talking about knees and bones and things. It's osteoporosis. This is I know so many people who have had knee replacements over the years. And I'm talking about both knees, one knee usually that foreteller of the other knee. And they got to deal with it, long recovery times, et cetera, therapy, pain. And I've often wondered, like, is that the only remedy for this? And I guess technology or medical technology has kind of changed over the years.
Yeah, well, actually, you're absolutely correct. Osteoarthritis is a debilitating chronic condition. 30 million Americans have this problem. Over 2 million Americans under the age of 45 actually have it, and it's a huge contributor to disability. And oftentimes, that final common pathway is total knee replacement. But what we know from large registry studies is that about 20% of patients are not 100% satisfied with their knee replacements. And so what we really try and do is address this disease on a longitudinal chronic basis and try and have people live with their own God-given parts for as long as they possibly can. And so new technologies and injectables have really changed the game on that.
Yeah, I know that originally the injectables were temporary, and then after a while the body tolerates it too much and its effectiveness starts becoming nil. And it didn't seem at that time to really fit the bill. It was just a delay in knee surgery.
Yeah, so I think we can characterize injections in two major classes. One was sort of the fire extinguisher approach, where you put out the hot, swollen, painful knee, and that was usually with standard or traditional steroids. The problem is that they only lasted a short period of time, as you suggested. And then the other class was a class of lubricants that were meant to try and improve the interior environment in the knee, but they tended to take quite a long time to have an effect and had a variable moderate effect, maybe lasted a little bit longer, but there was this huge unmet need in terms of early onset and sustained duration of pain relief.
Yeah. I mean, that's understandable, but now there are other options for some people?
Yeah, so we have a very exciting drug that has been recently approved in October of 2017. It's called Zilretta, Z-I-L-R-E-T-T-A. And it fundamentally is different in terms of the way it delivers what is actually a pretty standard traditional steroid. The steroid is coupled to a microsphere, a nanoparticle, that slowly dissolves and allows the crystals of the steroid to be released into the joint over a very long period of time. And the data suggests that that allows for very early onset of significant pain relief, and it allows that pain relief to sustain itself over 3, 4, 5, even 6 months' time.
Wow, that's a long time. So in some cases, it may be good enough.
Yes, I think that because we look at osteoarthritis as a chronic disease, which requires oftentimes long-term and repeated treatment, this becomes a very powerful tool in order to help people with sustained pain relief, and then with the possibility of actually repeating that on an ongoing basis.
That's great. Now, here's the big question. When you see a doctor, whether it be a specialist or not, they may be familiar with this, they may not. It seems like at this juncture, perhaps, am I wrong, that the immediate response is knee replacement, that they may not be up to date. So it becomes up to the patient to request of their doctor this particular fix.
Yes, I think that increasingly patients are knowledgeable about options that are available to them.
Uh-huh.
If you poll patients with osteoarthritis, 90% of them say they really don't want, aren't ready, or can't have a knee replacement.
Right.
So there's a constant query about what's available. There's a lot of information online. This particular drug can be researched at Zilretta, Z-I-L-R-E-T-T-A.com. And there's lots of information to help patients understand what its role can be in the long-term management of their osteoarthritis.
Mm-hmm. Let me go a step further. Could this actually be a component for other bone structure problems, such as back pain?
So at this time, this particular product is only FDA approved for the knee. There are other studies that are looking at potential applications in other joints in the body, shoulder and hip. However, one of the things that we know at this time is that it's really only meant for intra-articular or in-joint use. So there are certain applications, for instance, with back and with bursitis and other types of problems that this probably isn't really ready for prime time for those indications. At this time, the FDA has really only approved it for use in the knee.
Okay. Well, we'll just wait then. But knee is probably, I mean, from your research, I assume knee is the most serious area that we're talking about because you need to walk, you need to weight bear there.
Yeah, it turns out that knee osteoarthritis is a huge problem because you have to walk, because you have to weight bear, and because it's important for just about anything you do, either vocationally or avocationally. About 15 million people in the United States are living with osteoarthritis of the knee at this very moment, and it's a huge healthcare resource issue, because somewhere in the range of $185 billion are spent on symptomatic knee osteoarthritis every year in the United States. So this is a big issue socially, professionally, and in every other way.
And when you say that 15 million, that probably doesn't include the people that have already had knee replacements.
Yeah, that sort of takes them out of the out of the mix.
Yeah.
And we know that somewhere between 600,000 and 3.5 million, I know that's a big spread, but that big of a spread of total knees are being done each year between now and, say, 2030. The projections are that it's going to grow enormously.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And as I say, I mean, I personally know so many people who have had one, mostly two of them done. So, yeah. And, well, I'm glad that there are steps forward in this particular field. How would one get more information about this, this particular remedy, to read up about it?
So I think there's lots of information at Zilretta, Z-I-L-R-E-T-T-A.com. The product is made by a company named Flexion Therapeutics, and plenty of information out there about this, and I think that they would find those good resources.
I want to say this is the first drug name that sounds like the letter Z, but isn't spelled with an X. And I really don't understand that, but seems to be true. Doctor, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Ron. Have a great day.
Take care. Bye-bye. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for coming to this business meeting today. Let's go out there and show them what we got, huh? Until then, well, until tomorrow, not until then, until tomorrow, go forth and multiply. I wish you peace.